Good morning. Welcome to Sunday Morning with Love and Action. I'm Ken Tuck. Thank you for joining me this morning. I hope your day's going well, your weekend's been going great, and I hope you're ready to study the Word of God with me this morning. Last week, we talked about obedience and how important it is to be obedient to the Word of God. That is just vital to our relationship with God and our walk here on earth with our Father. Today, we're going to look more at obedience, but we're going to focus in on one of the heroes of our faith, and that's Abraham. We're going to look at the obedience of Abraham this morning, and then look at a recent, modern-day example of obedience. But before we get into the Word of God, let's go to our Heavenly Father in prayer. Father God, we come to you this morning and just want to say thank you. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for your Son, Jesus. Thank you for your Word. Thank you for the salvation that you give us, Lord. We thank you for sending us your Holy Spirit, and we thank you, Holy Spirit, for being our teacher, and we ask you to teach us this morning. Lead us and guide us in all truths this morning. And may we apply your word, Father, to our lives and be doers of your word and not hearers only. Father, we know that you're faithful. You're faithful when we're not. You're always faithful. That's who you are. Father, I ask that we will be people who will be obedient to you, that we will read your word, study your word, and see what you have to tell us and then apply it to our lives and be obedient to your commands. Because, Father, as we read in your word and we see those who were obedient to your word, we saw the amazing and awesome things that you did in their lives and through them, Father God. And as we read about Abraham this morning, let us be inspired to want to be obedient like Abraham was obedient to your word. Every command you gave him, Lord, he did it. And, Father, we pray for those who don't know you this morning. Those who are listening who may be searching, or maybe they're just kind of checking out and seeing what this Jesus is all about. Lord, I just pray for their hearts to be touched this morning, and that today will be the day they call out to you and surrender their lives to you, Lord Jesus. God, we again just thank you for this day. Thank you for this time that we get to be in your word. Thank you for the Joy FM and the wonderful ministry that you do through the Joy FM. Father, we just ask you to just touch each person, every need we lift up to you. And it's in your holy name, Jesus, we pray. Amen. Today, if you are able to open up the Word of God with me, or if you're driving, just keep driving and listen. But if you're able to open up the Bible and read along with me this morning, we're going to spend most of our time in Genesis. And as I have mentioned several times in the past week, if you haven't read Genesis, or if you hadn't read it lately and studied it, do so. Just an awesome, awesome book of the Bible, and they're all awesome. But this one is just sets the foundation for the rest of the Word, and we get to see how things began and how our faith grew from the Garden of Eden with Adam and Eve, and went through to Noah, to the flood, and we're talking about Abraham now. And we're going to be in Genesis chapter 12, but read Genesis. I encourage you to. Don't breeze through it. Read it, study it. It's just a phenomenal book, and you get to read about so many of the heroes of our faith. And I just praise God that he gave us this insight so we can look and see how the whole gospel began. And so I just thank God for his word. His word is awesome, and we need to be in it. We need to be in it daily. Genesis chapter 12. We're going to read verses 1 through 4 to start out with, and we're talking about the obedience of Abraham. Now, as we pick this story up, he's not Abraham yet. His name is Abram. And starting in verse 1, "Now the Lord said to Abram, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you, and I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you, I will curse. So Abraham went, as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abraham was 75 years old when he departed Haran." Now here we are, we're introduced to Abram. We see that he is in a land with his family, and God tells him to leave. Leave his country, leave those who he's related to, leave his father's house, and he's going to take him to a land that God's going to show him. So Abram doesn't even know where he's going yet. God is just speaking to him and telling him to leave. And God promises him that he will make him a great nation, and he's going to bless his name. And God commands Abram to do this. And we see that Abram in verse 4, he went. He went as the Lord told him. So we see immediate obediency from Abram to God, to the commands of God. He didn't hesitate. He didn't ask questions. He didn't have a committee meeting. He just obeyed God. And notice how God made Abram a promise. God said he would make him a great nation. It's interesting, too, Abram was 75 years old. We know when God called Moses, Moses was 80. So God is not finished with us, no matter how old we are. Often we talk about one day I'm going to retire and just kind of ease on into my latter years or golden years. But that's not what God tells us to do. He wants to keep working through us. And it's so exciting to see volunteers at Love in Action who are in their 60s, 70s, even 80s, who are continually to be about God's business. And they have retired from their jobs, but they haven't retired from serving God. We never retire from serving God. We need to always serve our Father. Abram, again, he didn't hesitate. And God makes promises to Abram. And as we continue to read about him, and I encourage you to do so, we see seven promises that God made him, and they follow pretty quickly. One, God promised to make Abram into a great nation. That's a pledge that would find its fulfillment in the birth of the Hebrew nation, the Israelites. Number two, God promised to bless Abram, his family, and the nation that would emerge with his loving care and continued provision. Number three, Abram, later renamed Abraham, would be given a name that would live on longer after his earthly life was over. Number four, the nation that would be a blessing to other nations as they modeled conformity to God's law and demonstrated proper worship of our awe-inspiring God. And that's a promise God made to Abraham, and God fulfilled that promise. The fifth promise, that God would bless those who blessed the nation that would come forth from Abraham. Number six, God would stand in judgment against those who oppressed his people. And then number seven, all people would be blessed through Abram and the generations that followed. Now these grand and glorious promises that God gave Abram, they're rooted in the nature and character of God. And in spite of people's unbelief, rebellion, idolatry, spiritual adultery, God remained faithful to his promises because the covenant was based on grace and not law. Now see, the law hadn't come in yet. Abraham was here before the law was given. And so God's making all of these promises before the law was given. So he's making these promises based on his grace. And that's another awesome thing when we're reading about Abraham, is these promises that God's making to him, they're not based on law because the law had not been given. You know, Moses hadn't come yet. And the Israel nation had not been born yet and had not been taken in captivity in Egypt. But Abraham received these promises because of God's grace. And Paul wrote that God gave Abraham these promises long before the law was given on Mount Sinai. So even in the New Testament, Paul looks back and says, Abraham was under grace, not the law. As one born in the line of Abraham, Jesus was the means by which these promises were fulfilled. All those in Christ, born again by the grace of God, are children of Abraham and recipients of the promises of God that were fulfilled in Jesus. Paul, he testified to this reality when he claimed that all those who respond in faith to the good news of Jesus are heirs of the promises given to Abraham. And we find that in Galatians chapter 3, verses 28 and 29. So Abraham receives these promises under grace. And as the gospel story unfolds and Jesus comes, and he lives the perfect life here, fulfilling all the commandments, fulfilling the law. He dies on the cross for our sins, rises again, and all who believe in him are saved by grace. And therefore, these promises that Abraham received, we receive as well as heirs. And he's just awesome that way. He's awesome in every way, but we see back in Genesis where God's already promising all of this. We remember in our studies just a few weeks ago about God's plan of salvation, how it began right there in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. One thing that we see when it comes to obedience is we have to have faith. We know Scripture tells us we cannot please God without faith. And obedience takes faith. Sometimes things that God commands us to do, we want to question or we want to say, hey, you know, is that even possible? But with God, all things are possible. So we have to have faith in Him. And Abraham, man, does he ever show awesome faith? Therefore, he's obedient through his faith. And in Genesis chapter 15, Abram asked God for an heir. Remember, he started this journey 75 years old, but he doesn't have a child, doesn't have a son or any children because his wife, Sarah, is unable to have children. But here Abram is, he's asking God for an heir, and God tells him in verse 5, chapter 15, verse 5, look toward the heaven and number the stars if you're able to number them. Then he said to him, so shall your offspring be. And he believed the Lord, and he counted it to him as righteousness. You have to have faith to be obedient. And faith and obedience were hallmarks of Abram's life. And you see this as you read through Abraham's life in the book of Genesis. When God made Abram these promises, Abram believed. And when he was commanded, Abram obeyed. You see that? Abram believed that he had that faith in God, that what God is saying is true, and he followed that faith with obedience. At times, this faith required great risk on Abram's part, and we're going to see that here shortly. But Abram left what was known to him, like his country, his father, his family, to step out into what God was calling him to. It is faith like Abram's, faith in the only living God, that saves sinners. It was Abram's faith in God's promise to give him many descendants that caused God to count him as righteous. Abram's faith was well-founded in the God who always keeps his promises. It's important to note that it was not Abram's own righteous living or good deeds that made him righteous in God's eyes. It was simply his faith. You see, when God calls us to do something, it takes faith to do it. And God, He calls each of us to do things, different things, to bring Him glory, to tell others about His goodness and the salvation that's only found in Jesus Christ. But it takes faith to step out. It's like when I gave up my 22-year journalism career to go full-time ministry. That took faith, and it took a lot of prayer on my part before I finally took that step of faith. Martha, my wife, she had 22 years in the medical field, and she took that leap of faith by leaving it and going into the ministry to minister to the homeless and to the needy. So it takes faith and obedience to live this life that God's called us to live. If you never read about Abraham, you may wonder, well, when did he become Abraham instead of Abram? Well, glad you ask. Chapter 17, God tells Abram in verses 5 and 6 that no longer shall your name be called Abram, but your name shall be Abraham, for I have made you a father of a multitude of nations. So there's the name change. Abraham continues to be obedient to God, and he was 100 years old, and Sarah was 90 when Sarah gave birth to Isaac, Abraham's first son, his first child, and of course, son. And we know that was so important because the firstborn son is the one who is the heir to the father. God promised Abram that he was going to be a father of many nations. In order to do that, he and Sarah, of course, had to have had a child. And we don't have time to read about how that all came about, but it's fascinating to read it. It happens. God once again fulfills his promise, as he always does. And then in Genesis chapter 21, that's when Isaac is born. And in chapter 22 of Genesis, God commands Abraham to do the unthinkable. We read, after these things, God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham, and he said, here I am. He said, take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. Wow, that is the ultimate command, and you just don't see that coming. You wouldn't think God would ask you to do such a thing. Now, Isaac was probably around 25 years old at that time when God told Abraham to do this, to go and sacrifice your son. Perhaps no scene in the Bible outside of Calvary on the cross when Jesus was crucified Is there a more touching scene than this one? Than God telling Abraham to sacrifice his son as a burnt offering on a mountain? This is obviously a clear, crystal clear foreshadowing of the death of God's only son on the cross. And it's the supreme test of Abraham's faith. Because would he actually be obedient to this command of God? And God actually had no intentions of allowing Abraham to go through with sacrificing Isaac. God's always been against human sacrifice. An interesting thing about this is Moriah is a mountain range where Jerusalem is situated now, and it's also where Calvary stood. So God's words of your only son Isaac, whom you love, man, that must have just pierced Abraham's heart. I mean, just like a huge wound when God told him to do that. And Isaac, he was Abraham's only son, and in the sense that he was the only son of promise, the unique son of a miraculous birth, but God told Abraham, go and sacrifice your son. Now, the first occurrence of a word in the Bible often sets the pattern for its usage throughout Scripture, and we find that here in the word love and the word worship. This is where those words are first found. Love and worship are first found right here in Genesis chapter 22. And Abraham's love for his son is just a faint picture of God's love for the Lord Jesus. The sacrifice of Isaac was a picture of the greatest act of worship, the Savior's self-sacrifice to accomplish the will of God. So we see that this scene really foreshadows and sets the stage for what's going to come, as we know later in the New Testament, when Jesus comes and when God sends his only son to be that ultimate sacrifice for you and for me and for everyone, for the whole world. And again, notice that Abraham did not question God. He immediately obeyed him. Now, what was he thinking? What was that conversation with Sarah when he tells her, hey, I'm going to take our son and go up to the mountain and going to sacrifice him? We don't know what went on in their thoughts or even in that conversation, if they had that conversation. But what we do know is that immediately Abraham obeyed God. In verse 3, so Abraham rose early in the morning, saddled his donkey, and took two of his young men with him and his son Isaac. And he cut the wood for the burnt offering and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. So you see, he immediately, the next morning, he went up and he left. And he took Isaac with him and two other young men with him. And on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place from afar. Then Abraham said to his young men, stay here with the donkey. I and the boy will go over there and worship and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac his son, and he took in his hand the fire and the knife. So they went both of them together, and Isaac said to his father, my father. And he said, here I am, my son. He said, behold, the fire and the wood, but where's the lamb for the burnt offering? Abraham said, God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering, my son. So they went, both of them, together. Notice Abraham, and you can't help but notice Abraham's faith and obedience. Back up in verses 5 and 6, when he said, he told the two young men that were with him, he said, stay here, keep the donkey here, and my boy and I are going to go up on the mountain, and we're going to worship God, and we're going to come back. So he's already talking about Isaac is coming back with him, and he knows what he's about to do or what he's been called to do. But yet he has faith that his son is going to come back with him. And even Isaac, he's saying, okay, Dad, we have wood and we have the fire, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? And Abraham boldly says, God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering. And obedience, they went. They went, both of them together, up to the mountain for a time of worship of God. And What's also interesting, you see the foreshadowing of Jesus as well, and the fact that Abraham laid the wood on his son's back. And Jesus, we know he carried the cross on his back, the cross made of wood, of course. So there's another foreshadowing of Jesus here in this story of Abraham and Isaac. His faith, Abraham's faith, is just so inspiring and just so strong that he believed God would either provide a lamb for the offering, or he would raise Isaac from the dead if he had to sacrifice him. And we read that in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 19. And Abraham's faith, it was already remarkable, but it's even more remarkable when you consider this, because there was no recorded case of resurrection up to this time in the world's history. So Abraham was believing something that has never been seen before. He just knows somehow, some way, God is going to work all these things out so his son doesn't have to die, because he knows that God made a promise that through him, through Abraham, he was going to make a great nation. And in order for that to happen, Isaac had to continue. So you see, Abraham believes God all the way. From that promise all the way through this, he's saying, I don't know how God is going to do it, but he's going to provide. And my son's not going to die. He's going to live on because God has promised. So we see how Abraham, he was first justified by faith there in Genesis 15, verse 6, and then justified by works. And we can read about that in James chapter 2, verse 21 in the New Testament. But his faith was the means of salvation, while his works were the proof of the reality of his faith. If we have faith, then we're going to step out and we're going to do the works that God has called us to do. And then we go on to read that as Abraham was about to sacrifice Isaac, God stopped him and provided a ram, just as Abraham knew he would, somehow, some way, to take the place of his son. And let's read that, because this is so powerful. In Genesis chapter 22, verses 9 through 13, when they came to the place of which God had told him, Abraham built the altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. So there he is, the wood's laid out. Abraham puts his son on top of the wood and he binds him so he can't move. And then in verse 10, then Abraham reached out his hand and took the knife to slaughter his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here I am. He said, do not lay your hand on the boy or do anything to him. For now I know that you fear God, seeing you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him was a ram caught in the thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called the name of that place, the Lord will provide. As it is said to this day, on the mount of the Lord it shall be provided. Wow, that is so powerful. Someone has even said that in providing that ram that was caught in the thicket as a substitute for Isaac, God spared Abraham's heart a hurt, a pain that he would not spare his own, because he didn't spare his own son. He sent his son to die for us. That's how much God loves us. Now, Abraham was obedient to God, and he kept his promises. And through Abraham, the Hebrew nation and Israel was born, and ultimately the Messiah, Jesus Christ, brought salvation to all who believes. It's important to remember that God calls us, and he always makes promises, and he always keeps his promises. We just need to obey. We need to be like Abraham and have that faith in God that God can do anything, and anything that God says we need to do, and be obedient just like Abraham was obedient. And we carry that on to the New Testament, and we see Jesus gives us that great commission in Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20. Again, he commands us. He says, Jesus calls us to go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father in the name of the Son, and the name of the Holy Spirit, and teach them all that he has commanded us. And then here comes his promise. He says, and I will be with you always. He commands us, he promises. So we go and we tell others about Jesus. We make disciples, and he is with us every step of the way. When we're obedient, God will do great and wonderful things in us and through us. Because of an act of obedience 10 years ago, we have the Samaritan Clinic today at Levin Action. On December the 7th, 2010, we had our very first Samaritan Clinic. And the way the clinic came about was our brother Rick Denny, who's gone on to be with Jesus now, was hit by a freight train, literally. And I've told the story many times about how God miraculously healed him and just did incredible works through Rick the rest of his life. But when Rick was first in the hospital, and I called my friend Dr. Steve Stokes, asked him to check on him, make sure he was being well taken care of, which he was. Dr. Stokes asked me at that time, where do the homeless go for medical care? And I told him they don't really go anywhere unless it's really bad and they go to the emergency room. And then they rack up bills that they're never able to pay. And so that's not good for the hospital. It's not good for them either. And that's when Dr. Stokes said, well, let's start a triage clinic. And I said, okay, man, that sounds great. Let's do it. And after hanging up with him, I asked my wife, Martha, who, again, had a 22-year career in the medical field. I said, what is a triage clinic? And she told me, and I said, okay, that's cool. That's great. Let's do it. So Dr. Stokes and Dr. Laster at that time was with us, and we started a clinic for the homeless. And 10 years later, we're seeing over 1,000 people each year taking care of the homeless, taking care of our brothers and sisters who live in group homes, such as the ARC, and men and women from work release. And because of that one man's obedience, Dr. Stokes wanted to start a clinic because God had touched his heart for the homeless. And another cool thing about that story is Dr. Stokes and Rick became just really close friends. And as I mentioned, Rick is in heaven now with Jesus, but the clinic is still going and Dr. Stokes is still volunteering at the clinic with us. And so many people who have been volunteering at the clinic for many, many years, and including Jose and Jackie Lugo. Jackie's a nurse, and their daughter, Aurora, she's actually grown up in that clinic over these 8 years. And it's just incredible to see, as people are obedient to God's call on their lives, what God will do in them and through them. And we've seen people come to the Lord there at the clinic. And of course, we've seen just needs met. And it's just been an awesome 10 years. But it all started with being obedient and having faith that God's going to make this clinic happen when we had no idea how we were going to do it. But we believe that this was of God and he would make it happen. And we just need to be obedient and go with them and go forward. And it's been an awesome 10 years. But that's just one example of being obedient. God will do amazing things in our lives and through our lives. And we are out of time. We'll come back next week and talk some more about obedience. And I just want to encourage you this week, be obedient to the Word of God. And if you haven't prayed, given your life to Jesus, and be obedient and believe in him and confessing that he's Lord of your life, I encourage you to do that today. And if anybody has any questions or any thoughts or just want to communicate, call us at Levin Action, 334-494-4995, or email me at ken.tuck@loveinactionministries.com. Hope you have a great rest of the day, and may the Lord bless you and keep you. May he cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.